Hello and welcome to the Foxworthy Podcast. I'm Brian Fox. I'm here with Taylor Gaines, my co-host.
Hello, we're back!
It is March 9th, 2016. We haven't had an episode in a solid month. We apologize. Taylor was really sick. Life kind of got in the way. We've had a lot of kind of things happen where we haven't been able to catch up on shows, and we just kept kind of pushing it back, but we're here. We're back. We're going to talk today about some of the stuff we've missed the last month, namely Better Call Saul. We're going to talk a little bit about the Netflix series Love, and I think we're going to throw some shout-outs to the Fox comedy New Girl at the end, which I don't think we've ever talked about on this show, even though I'm a big fan of it. So let's dive right in. I think we're going to catch up here and talk about the return of Better Call Saul. We are in the second season. As of today, there have been 4 episodes that have aired. It's a spinoff of Breaking Bad, as most people know, created by Vince Gilligan and Peter Gould. The first season, was 10 episodes. It is on Netflix. If you haven't seen it, you want to catch up, they're on there. And then the first 4 episodes are on AMC.com of the current season, the second season.
Yeah, but I think to emphasize really quickly what you're saying, to preface this, if you watched Breaking Bad and you thought, Better Call Saul is just like a cheap spinoff, like they're just trying to make more money off this show, you should really go on Netflix and watch, at least watch the first few and realize that you're wrong.
Yeah, especially,
it's really good.
Especially the pilot. The pilot is really, really excellent, and that was when I was like pretty confident that it was going to be a good show, just from that very first episode, which I think we're going to talk a little bit about the way this show kind of came about and what it is, what it isn't, and sort of how it turned out to be as good as it is. And I think that comes down to the creative team. Do you want to just kind of like go through, do we want to talk plot really about it? Or I mean, it's a prequel to Breaking Bad. I mean, it takes place about 6 years before Breaking Bad starts, and it follows the character of Jimmy McGill, who we eventually come to know as Saul Goodman, who was kind of the crooked lawyer in Breaking Bad for the second season through the end of the series. He was a pretty major supporting character that often provided a lot of comic relief. But, I mean, is there anything else we want to say? We don't really want to spoil too much, but it's,
I don't want to spoil too much, and I also, I don't think the plot is that important.
Which I think is something else we're going to talk about.
I think we won't harp on that right now, I guess. But, yeah, I think generally you just need to know that, I mean, if you've seen Breaking Bad, you know where it's going because
right. It's
about him turning into Saul, just like Breaking Bad was about Walter turning into Scarface or whatever.
Yeah.
So, like, it's just interesting having these shows where you know sort of what the ending is, but it still is just a joy every week to watch. So I don't think the plot is important just because we sort of know where it's going, and like we said, we'll talk about in a minute, the plot just isn't really something that sticks with us all that
right.
much.
I think I'll just start out by saying, like,
so yeah, let's get into
that. I think this show is a really, really solid show. I mean, it's not perfect, but I definitely think that it's good. And I think that that is, in a lot of ways, sort of the best case scenario for a spinoff like this. I mean, this could have been a disaster, but I think the reason that it isn't is because you have a lot of the same creative team from Breaking Bad returning. People who are brilliant at editing, brilliant at writing, brilliant at, you know, composing shots and, you know, coming up with interesting things to do in each episode.
The best.
In terms of story. And I think that my expectations for the show were like, I think that we thought that it was going to be more about Saul and sort of the early days of Saul, and we would see Saul, that sort of version of this character, a lot earlier. But we're like 14 episodes into the series.
And we'll get to that, yeah.
And this is something I think we wanted to talk about, that it just, they definitely seem to have course corrected what I think they originally intended to do, which was to give us a lot more of Saul and for us to see Saul. But they went even further than that and gave us Jimmy McGill before he even kind of becomes Saul Goodman. And I think that the story that they're building, the plot, individual plot mechanics maybe aren't as interesting, but in terms of character arc and in terms of like, the actors on this show are terrific. I mean, we have Jonathan Banks returning from Breaking Bad. He plays Mike Ehrmantraut. Great, great character actor. Terrific performance. And so, you know, they work him into the story, too. And, you know, that's really rewarding for people who like Breaking Bad. But
I think you
were going to make a point
with
something I said.
Yeah, I was going to dovetail off what you were talking about with the show just being really good,
yeah,
and how surprising that was. Like, and this also sort of ties in, let's bring it to where we're going
right
here. So this show is really good and it's really entertaining, but for some reason, like, it doesn't like stick around with me for a long time after I watch it. Like, when I was compiling my top 10 TV show list of 2015, which you can find on GainesvilleScene.com, if you go look on there, this was one of the casualties, actually. I don't even know if it made it into my honorable mentions. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. But, like, right. I just remember thinking back and thinking, man, I really enjoyed that, but, like, it's December, it was on in January, and I can't really tell you anything that happened on it. And those issues were only sort of exacerbated when it came back, and I was like, I really don't remember anything that happened in the show.
But yet it's still really entertaining.
But yeah,
you
it's
still
awesome.
look forward to watching it.
It's sort of just like, and maybe this is what we want to talk about, is like this creative team, which is headed by Peter Gould and Vince Gilligan, is just really, really good at making television.
Yeah.
And
or at least maybe, this is another point we were going to make, maybe just stories in this universe that are told in this style, in this world.
Yeah, that's an interesting conversation because we don't really know the answer.
Right, we don't really know what they're capable of in terms of doing something totally outside the Breaking Bad universe. I would imagine it would still be pretty high quality, but
it's just given the way, like, it seemed like it would be impossible to do this spin-off show and have it be original and interesting, mm-hmm. but, like, they pretty quickly found a way to do that, and it's just a really enjoyable experience, and, like, Mike and Saul / Jimmy are just way more interesting characters than you would have realized in the first
place.
Yeah,
absolutely.
There's much more to them. They're really complex. I mean, you mentioned this a minute ago, but it's been sort of reported that their initial plan was to have Jimmy turn into Saul by the end of the first season. But then when they were making it, they realized that there was a lot more to him. And they said, let's stick with this for a while.
Right.
Let's do more Jimmy because there's just more here. And it's a little awkward. I think this has been talked about before, but the beginning of the first episode is a little awkward where they sort of course correct on how the first season ended. Because the first season I'm not going to spoil it, but basically they give him another reason to stick around, you know? And yeah, I mean, it's just really good. And this is what we want to talk about, is just their willingness to realize what they have on their hands and adapt to it. It's
right.
Just really impressive. Just really worth investigating a little more.
I have no idea what this team is capable of doing in terms of making a show outside of the Breaking Bad universe, but they have the visual style down, they have the scripts down, they have the humor down, the tone, they know the rhythms and sort of the way that they want to tell these stories within this universe. It often feels similar to Breaking Bad in its style, in its tone. It's definitely lighter so far, way lighter, but I think that they just have this kind of down to a science, and I think they've all worked together for so long, and they just kind of have that sort of rapport with each other, and they trust each other, and they just get the people that they have working on the show are working at just the highest possible level. Now, we wanted to talk about sort of how the plot isn't really all that, like the minutiae of the plot, like the details of the plot are kind of like a little bit throwaway, like you kind of, you know what's happening, but you're not really that invested in it necessarily. You're just kind of like entertained by the characters and the interactions between the characters and sort of the basic character arcs, but not necessarily like whatever this Sandpiper stuff is that's happening. And
it just feels weird to, on one hand, praise the hell out of this team
right.
and say how great they are at making TV, but then on the other hand, you know that they're spending a lot of time
right.
figuring out the plot and making sure everything tracks and whatnot, because Breaking Bad was arguably the most intricately plotted show that's ever been made. Just as far as how important every single event was to the
right.
next one. And now here I am kind of just not really caring too much. It's more just, I don't want to say it's just the acting, but it's sort of just the characters where you're just so interested to see sort of, like you just said, their arc and where they're going, that the specific events almost aren't as important.
Mm-hmm.
It is at least a good thing that, like, I am not wondering all the time where Jesse is or where Walter White is
or like Gus or
yeah.
like any of these, like, yeah,
it's definitely, for me at least, reached a point where it's its own thing.
Yeah, it definitely feels like its own thing,
because
sure.
I can go entire episodes now without thinking of Breaking Bad except for when certain characters from Breaking Bad show back up.
Yeah.
but yeah, I mean,
spoiler alert,
it's just It's just really weird.
It's not a perfect... I mean, in the writer's room, I'm sure that they hash all this stuff out, and these decisions are made very carefully, but it's like, that's, I think, maybe the most fascinating thing is, they could have decided to do anything with this. Like, it could have gone a number of different ways, 100 different ways. I think they floated at one point making it a half-hour comedy, and just kind of having case of the week, like Saul solving, doing some sort of representing someone, different clients.
If there was a show, Slip and Jimmy Cons of the Week.
Cons of the Week.
I would watch the hell out of it.
Especially if it was 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
But this is what they landed on, and I'm not sure what I imagined when this show was announced, and when we thought, you know, okay, like, is this going to tarnish the legacy of Breaking Bad? I mean, I think we can definitively say that it in no way tarnishes the legacy of Breaking Bad.
Not.
I mean, it doesn't dilute it. It doesn't make it does. It's not like, oh, it's a spinoff of Breaking Bad that's not as good. Like, I think in a lot of ways, it's every bit as good as Breaking Bad was in terms of quality. It's just a completely different type of story. It doesn't have as much of the action and the sort of like.
It's almost,
you know,
as simple.
It's not as violent.
Yeah, it's almost as simple as the fact that it's just not as captivating as, like, a narrative experience. You're interested, but you're not invested. It's almost like you're entertained, but you're not engrossed,
right,
so to speak.
But I am also curious, like, we're getting sort of attached to some of these new characters, like Kim Wexler, played by Rhea Seehorn. Like, she's not in Breaking Bad, so, like, what happens to her? Like, she could potentially die, she could something, Jimmy could, you know, do something, you know, they wind up turning against each other. Who knows? I mean,
we know he's going to be Saul.
Right.
So the odds of her being involved
in
that are,
you know, there's low. There's his brother Chuck, whom I guess a lot of people don't like as a character, but I think it's kind of a really interesting part of the Jimmy McGill backstory. I'm
definitely
kind
think
of
he's really
it.
Interesting. I don't think that I
like him.
Like him.
Right.
Like if he were
a person.
If he were a real person, I'd be like, dude, come on.
But yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you also get where he's coming from. It's just fairness.
The show is sharp. It's really, really well done. I definitely think right now it's probably, like, the best thing AMC has going for it. I mean, The Walking Dead is popular, but it's not necessarily in terms of, like,
right.
creatively, it's not at the level of this, for sure.
And we have to mention just the direction and cinematography on this show is
amazing. Every week.
Certainly
amazing.
Parallel to Breaking Bad. Just,
yeah.
I mean, it's the same team mostly, but, like, it just blows me away. Every week, there's almost not a show that you need HD more to watch it, because it just is so beautiful. And every week they come up with, like, two or three shots that you never would have thought of before.
Yeah.
It's sort of like back in the day when Breaking Bad would come up with all those weird, like, Roomba cams and meth, like, view from the perspective of the meth and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, there's just stuff like that every week where I'm like, man, there's a fake commercial filmed in episode 4. And it was just funny to me because the way that they make the fake commercial, as far as camera work goes, turned out to be really clever and really creative, and you're just like, I think this character who made this fake commercial had some help from the Breaking Bad creative team, because that is brilliant.
Right.
Like, it's really funny. And they do it in a way where it almost seems like they planned it from the very beginning, which I can't really explain without spoiling it, but
right.
It sort of comes back to that idea of them being really good at adapting to what they have. I mean, we talked about this already, where they weren't planning on doing Jimmy this long, but then they're like, wait a second, Bob Odenkirk is amazing, and there's a lot here with him and Kim, and let's stick with it a while. I mean, it goes back to Breaking Bad. I'm sure we talked about this before the podcast a little bit, like, Jesse was supposed to get killed at the end of the first season. I'm pretty sure Saul, even, originally was not supposed to be around for more than a couple episodes, or at least definitely not become as integral of a character as he did.
For those last couple seasons.
So they're just... And maybe this is one of the more underrated things about making a TV show, is just realizing the talent that you have and adapting to it,
yeah.
or even just the kind of show you are and adapting
right.
to that,
being
and
able to
capitalizing
make,
on
being
it.
Able to make changes on the fly. And I think this is kind of a good place to segue. Better Call Saul, we're all in on it. There's been four episodes that have aired of the second season. It airs Monday nights at 10 on AMC. But segueing into the next thing we were going to talk about, which is Netflix's Love, a show that we both didn't really care that much for. There are 10 episodes.
That.
I mean, we're going to get into it. There are 10 sort of half-hour episodes. They're like 35 to 38 minutes, varying degrees of
forever.
Length. Basically, this show, they just kind of just did what they wanted to do. They went
okay,
for
so
it.
Okay, so basics. You got Jillian Jacobs, who's Britta on Community.
Who's pretty great. She's
and
great
she's
in general.
Good. She's good, yeah. She's a good actress. You got Paul Rust, I believe.
Who is one of the co-creators.
Co-creator.
With Judd Apatow.
Lead actor in the show. Yes, and Judd Apatow is sort of the showrunner, so to speak, I guess.
Yeah, he's like the co-creator.
I don't know how it works when
There's
you make a Netflix
one.
Show.
I don't even know.
But, so yeah, basically, it's every TV rom-com or movie rom-com you've ever seen, just obviously Judd Apatow style, so like really awkward and uncomfortable and
too long.
And
yeah,
it's, I mean, you know from the first 5 seconds that the show is about these two ending up together, and really it's a question of the journey being interesting or entertaining enough,
right,
or funny enough,
right,
to be worth your time, or even for them to have some kind of chemistry, or should we say reason to get together, other
I mean,
than hey, you guys have to get together now.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of checking boxes, is it funny? I didn't find it funny, so that box was not checked for me. Is it engaging? Not really so much.
Then why did
we
watch
like,
all 10?
Why did we
why
watch
did
the
we
whole
do
thing?
This? What
I don't
is
know.
It?
I couldn't stop.
I can't figure out.
And then I finished it, and I was like, God, please give me back the last 5 hours
I'm
of my life.
I'm convinced that there's something about the way Netflix's interface is set up that tricks you into watching entire seasons of Love and or House of Cards Season 3. There's something about it, Bloodline, I just keep watching, and I'm just like, I'm not even really enjoying this, and I just keep watching episode after episode. It's just too easy.
It's crazy. I don't want to spend too much time talking about this show because I don't have a whole lot to say about it. I didn't like it. I didn't think that it was
about our biggest problem with it here. Let's get into, we were just talking about...
Well, the realism on this show is not. It's garbage. It's just garbage.
Well, okay, so
there's no realism.
There's the thing.
There's nothing to latch onto to make you buy into it and believe what's happening.
When I spend 4 hours and 25 minutes of the 5 hours, you know, even though this show was 10 episodes and they were all like 35 to 40 minutes long, so that's more than 5 hours. It was probably a solid...
It's too many hours, especially for the non-story
Regardless,
that they were telling.
When I spend 90% of my hours watching your show and saying, how does this make any sense? Would a person in the real world ever do anything like this? That's too much time of me doing that. Like it, and okay, maybe you could watch this and think, oh no, like I've lived this, then like, okay, I just haven't. But this whole thing just felt so contrived and like unrealistic that like when it gets to the point, I'm not spoiling anything because this damn show is so obvious.
Yeah.
When it gets to the point where they're together at the end, it does not feel earned
or justified.
Justified. Great show, by the way.
Terrific.
Or necessary in any way to the character's actual needs and like qualities that are exhibited during the course of the season.
When the most realistic part of your show is the fact that people wait by the phone anxiously for someone to text them back. Like, that's literally the only relatable thing in this show that I could latch onto. Which is not groundbreaking or new or interesting, but it is contemporary and it is real. That's the only thing I could find in this show that I was like, oh yeah, I've definitely done that. Like, just you sit by the phone in agony waiting for someone to, like, message you back. That's it. That's it. The rest of it is
complete and utter BS. There's just a lot of situations.
BS.
There's just a lot of situations where characters say something or do something that really make you stop and say, what even, minimally aware of their situation kind of person would do anything like this? There's so many scenes that you're just like, any rational person would not be doing this. And maybe that's supposed to just be the point of how weird their characters
are. Maybe it's
just
super quirky.
I mean,
is it possible that we don't understand this show because we don't live in LA? Are people in LA just like really weird? Is there something we're missing here?
I don't know.
Is there like some sort of like LA like culture of just like people?
Think you're touching on something that might have been an issue for me with this show, is like the type of life that they're living and the type of relationships that they are trying to have,
right,
is not really like, not, I'm not going to get really personal, I guess, but it's just not the way I approach my life. It's just a different like worldview where like the stakes that they're aiming for don't make sense to me.
Right.
If that makes sense. And it just didn't connect in a lot of ways, I think, because of that like general disconnect just underneath the entire show. Like the general setting and premise of the entire thing.
Why did she like him? Like, let me ask you this. Did you feel a moment? Did they include a effective moment in the series where you could see or feel or understand a reason why she would ever be interested in him?
That's just love, man. You can't explain it. It just happens.
It's BS.
You know?
There was literally an episode where she's like, she says something about like, I think I'm really into this guy, Gus. I'm like, why?
Like, when?
Why? How?
How? What?
What did he do?
There's an episode.
Kind of weird, but I'm into him.
They go on a date that is just an abject disaster.
Oh, when he goes on the date with the roommate? The Australian?
No. The date that he goes on with Jillian Jacobs to the Magic Club and whatnot.
Oh my god.
Miserable.
Agony.
They both seem to clearly hate it, but then
she's like crazy about him after
Then they're good.
And then she's like stalking him, like she shows up to his house and like, oh my gosh. This show, I thought the show was kind of a mess, but I think
it's a beautiful mess.
I mean, this is kind of what we were just going to talk about in terms of, and this kind of goes into the next show that we wanted to talk about, which is New Girl, which isn't even remotely realistic and doesn't try to be and doesn't need to be, and is funny. It literally checks all the boxes. But, yeah, I don't know what happened with this love show, whatever.
So let me ask you this.
I watched the whole thing, and I literally want that time back. Like, I want
Let me ask you this. So we're talking about, specifically with Better Call Saul and New Girl, we're sort of talking about this idea of realizing what your show is and what you have and sort of adapting to it. Do you think that, I'm sure they're going to make a love season 2, I don't know if it's renewed, but Netflix renews everything.
Netflix gives them whatever they want.
Do you think if there's a love season 2 that they will be able to adjust and make it into something better or different?
If they feel like the course that they took in season 1 was perhaps a misstep, they might just double down on the quirkiness, the awkwardness, the agony. Like, I just didn't buy into anything that was going on. And if they're going to keep sort of this strangeness of, like, this main character, that dude is weird, okay? He's weird. And, like, not in, like, a fun way. He's just, like, super awkward, super awkward all the time.
Well,
and like, I get it, like, some people are awkward, but like, he brings up the weirdest shit. He was so grating. I didn't find him endearing. Like, his quirkiness was not a trait that like drew me to him. I was like, I don't understand how you're getting all these women to be interested in you.
Here's the thing that's funny to me is the first two shows we're talking about here are shows where we know the ending, effectively.
Right.
And in one case, Better Call Saul, I'm watching it, and I'm thinking, this is so good that I don't care that I already know the ending, because there's a lot to investigate here.
Right.
Where, like, Love, I'm watching it, and I'm thinking the exact opposite thesis, basically, where I'm like, you can't make a show where I know the ending, because it's garbage. Like, everything feels forced. Like, everything's trying to lead to this one point, even though it doesn't make sense. It's like, I mean, we talked about this before the podcast. It's like, basically what How I Met Your Mother secretly did behind the scenes, where they were like, these two people are going to end up together because that's the way this show should go. And then ignoring everything, every bit of evidence that the show itself gave them over the course of the next whatever seasons, five or six seasons, and like just sticking with it no matter what. And like, this show just feels like something that needs a course correct for me to want me to watch any more seconds of it.
Well, let's transition to talking about New Girl, which is now in its fifth season. They had an interesting...
They've kind of course corrected a little bit, right?
They have. And they had an interesting start kind of to this season. They had a few episodes that were normal where Zooey Deschanel was still around. And then she actually was gone for 4 or 5 weeks on maternity leave. And so they had Megan Fox come in and sort of take her room while she was like sequestered on jury duty or whatever. This is like stuff in the show plot-wise. And so Megan Fox was like a guest star for a handful of episodes. And so they really got to let a lot of the other characters shine. I think the show is funny. I've always thought it was funny. I've watched it since the beginning. And I think that it's, in a lot of ways, it's only gotten better because they figured out exactly the best way to just kind of, to get the, they get a lot of mileage out of just letting, you know, Jake Johnson be funny. Letting Lamorne Morris be funny. Winston.
And they have a really funny joke writing team. I just, each week there's one or two things that I'm just like, just that joke alone is worth me watching this.
Yeah.
There was a thing a couple weeks ago where a couple on the show is trying to find a place to have their wedding, and they're like, oh, good news, this space is available because Shia LaBeouf had to cancel his solitaire tournament. Like, what the hell is a solitaire tournament?
That's amazing.
How does that work?
But,
And yeah, like, it's just, it's reliably funny and like, it's insanely goofy, but like, unlike sort of this idea of love not realizing what it is or what's real about it, and unlike a show we're going to talk about next week, I think, it really just embraces exactly what it is. And like, that's not, I'm not saying that in a demeaning way, like, it's just like a really funny show, and they just play into that. Like, they write funny jokes, they set up funny scenarios that like, would probably not really happen in the real world, but like, they seem to work with these characters because these characters are so quirky and weird.
Right.
And weird in a good way.
And the other thing I think that we should mention about this show that I really like and I think stands out is that there's sort of this underlying kind of sweetness to it that like, you really feel the camaraderie between like all the roommates.
It's a different kind of camaraderie to like traditional television.
But you can feel
sitcoms,
you can feel that
like,
they actually care about each other is what I'm saying.
Right, cuz but it's not like Parks and Rec where you're watching it and you're just like, this is what love and friendship is all about. Like,
right.
It's not like that. It's like a very specific
yeah.
friendship that you sort of just get because the show is
yeah.
is good. Yeah, I mean, it's just a fun group. And I was pretty impressed with, say what you will about Megan Fox's acting chops and whether you think she's good or not.
Right.
But, like, they did a really good job of sort of integrating her with the
absolutely
team.
They utilize, which is kind of why we wanted to bring this up, just because this isn't something that happens necessarily all that often, but they literally had, the show is called New Girl, and Zooey Deschanel plays Jessica Day, the new girl, quote unquote, which is funny because she's not the new girl anymore, because she's lived there forever, but she, you know, she was off the show for like, basically a month and a half, and the show still worked, even though she wasn't on it. And they got to just play with doing different things and giving other characters moments to shine and kind of writing episodes around, you know, certain performers. And also effectively sort of integrating Megan Fox into the existing ensemble that they had already. Which I think is just really interesting. And I didn't expect it to work nearly as well as it did.
The thing that's impressive about the show to me is they really do a great job of giving each character sort of their due, which... I don't think that they sit in the writer's room and say, oh, does Winston have 3 jokes? Does
right.
Schmidt have 3 jokes? Like, I don't think it's like that. But, like, before Jess left, there was a couple episodes where there were guest stars. There was one with Taron Killam from Saturday Night
yeah.
Live. There was one with Fred Armisen, who is hilarious.
Always.
In
always
everything.
Hilarious.
And, like, they gave those two enough to do that it was really worth having a guest star.
Mm.
Like, this is something that I think shows, like... Like, Brooklyn Nine-Nine kind of struggles with this a lot, is they'll have guest stars, but then they won't really give them that much to do.
Right.
But New Girl seem to have it, at least this season, down to a science where they bring on these guest stars, whether it's Taron Killam or Fred Armisen or Megan Fox, and they give them enough to do that you either laugh at a few things that they say or, like, understand what their character's deal is. Like, it's just, like, they're really good at doing that, at dividing it all up and making sure you sort of get the full experience of the show every week, which is a weird but, like, kind of unique thing. Just an interesting thing that they do.
So you like this show?
I do. I didn't really pick it up until the later seasons, but, I mean, it's really funny and it's reliable and
yeah, it's nice. It's nice comfort.
Tuesday nights on Fox are just pretty cool.
Absolutely, Grindr's still funny. Although apparently there wasn't a new episode last night. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Grindr, New Girl. I don't watch Grandfathered. Some people champion it. It's whatever. I don't really care. But those three are solid. They air on Tuesday nights.
Bob's Burgers, they air on Sundays. Pretty reliable animated comedy. It's really funny. It's not on that often because it's on Sundays, and Fox has a lot of football rights, and it's only aired like 8 or 9 episodes this whole year.
What else do we want to say in terms of what's going on with TV stuff right now? What else are you watching? What else are you enjoying?
I mean
we're both kind of in on OJ, right? Which we did a whole episode on.
I don't think I could be any more in on
OJ. Are you still watching
OJ?
American Crime?
Yes.
American Crime. Not American Crime Story.
You were a few weeks behind on American Crime, right?
Several weeks behind, but apparently it got
quite
really
turn.
Good.
It takes a turn. We talked about this on our last podcast.
A month ago.
Like, it's sort of a show about a crime that you don't really see.
Right.
And this is a slight spoiler, so skip ahead like 10 seconds if you don't want to hear this, but you see a crime, and the show takes a turn that I just wasn't expecting, and it's really fascinating.
Okay.
And it's just really well done. It's a really...
So you're up on that?
I'm up on American Crime.
Okay.
Up on American Crime, up on American Crime Story.
Shout out to The Americans Returns, 1 week from tonight, on Wednesday, March 16th, I think at 10 p.m. on FX.
Very soon.
First 3 seasons, if you haven't caught up, are available on Amazon Prime. That's my favorite show on television, so I'm really pumped for that. I'm really enjoying... You're kind of in on Vinyl. I haven't watched it, so we can't talk about it on the podcast,
Vinyl's really. Vinyl's a really interesting world. They got a really interesting place to play around in, and I think with the creative team that they have, I'm excited to
you
see
think it's
where
find
it goes.
Its, find
I,
th- its footing
I think it
a
could
more.
End up being pretty good.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, you know what else I'm up on?
What?
Billions!
Not up on Billions.
Love Billions!
Is it fun? Is it just fun?
Billions is just fun. It's too long, but it's fun.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just enjoyable. Just,
yeah.
You know, just back and forth banter all
I'm gonna
all
shout
night.
Out. I'm going to shout out Broad City on Comedy Central. Mm. That show is really funny. I know it's not for everyone. It's super, super strange, but I find it really entertaining. I'm also really into girls and togetherness, and I actually think that kind of makes a really nice hour of kind of a double feature. I think both of those shows are kind of auteur kind of comedy dramas that are both really, really well done, and I really, really like both of those shows. I think they're both excellent, so if you haven't seen them, go check them out. Check them out on HBO. Sunday nights on HBO. seems to be kind of where it's at right now. Vinyl airs on Sundays, and Girls, Togetherness. What else?
I apologize that we're an audio podcast because Brian just did an amazing thing with a notebook that I don't think I could even describe.
Yeah, sorry, that's
one
why
more,
we were
more
laughing.
Show, one more show I want to mention that I'm just generally up on is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Okay.
It's in its, 10th or 11th season right now, which is insane. Like, I don't even know how a show can be on that many years and still be funny, but it's... And it's still, it sort of is a little derivative of its past self, but the show is, the characters, where this is sort of what we're talking about with New Girl, is the characters are so weird and so just funny that, like, the show is always just kind of enjoyable to go back to. It's not a show I recommend watching, like, 4 in a row of, because it's kind of dark.
Right.
But even this season, it's just been funny. Like, they're such horrible people, and... It's so cartoonish. It's basically a live-action cartoon if you've never seen It's Always Sunny. But it's really just reliable.
This would be a good time to mention Taylor wrote a column. It went up several weeks ago, but we haven't recorded, so we haven't been able to really plug it or shout out. But he wrote a Hidden in Plain View column on the FX series Baskets, the comedy Baskets, which we did talk briefly about on the podcast. I think we both kind of like it, but I'm several weeks behind, and I think you're... mostly caught up for the most part. But I think we both like it, and we both think it's worth checking out. So if you're interested in Taylor's writing on that, he did do a column on that. You can find us on iTunes. You can type in the Foxworthy Podcast. You can subscribe. You can stream us. Please rate and review us. We would really like some feedback. We're going to try to use the Twitter account more. And I think we'll be back next week. I don't know what we're going to talk about yet.
Oh, I know one thing we're going to talk about.
Oh, well, we're definitely going to talk about, I guess we should say this in case people want to be prepared. I'm in on this show. Taylor's not in on this show. So
Fuller House. We're going to do
Fuller House. Our next episode is going to be called Fuller House versus House of Cards.
Yes.
So we're going to be talking about...
I could not pass up the opportunity for you to say, I'm in on this show, and then me say Fuller House.
No. We haven't watched Fuller House yet. We're going to watch it. We're going to give it a shot. It's going to be so hard, but we're going to try.
It's going to be Netflix death week for us, I think.
But I like House of Cards, and you don't, so... What if you think Fuller House is amazing and I think it's terrible? And I love House of Cards and you don't.
If either of us think Fuller House is amazing,
we should reconsider everything about our lives.
I think we should reconsider the world that we live in and what's right and what's wrong based off of what I've heard. But, you know, I'm not going to rule it out. Maybe it'll be awesome.
All right, well, next week, Netflix. We're going to talk the Netflix twofer, Fuller House of Cards. And I think that's going to wrap it up for today. So we'll see you guys next week. There's lots of TV stuff coming up. The spring season is about to hit full force, especially HBO. Game of Thrones is coming back in April.
New trailer.
Veep's coming back in April. All kinds of stuff that we like. There's lots of exciting stuff. TV doesn't slow down. We won't either.
Never stops. Well, I mean, we slow down.
We take a month. Here and there we take a month off. But other than that, no big deal. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next time.